Blog Talk Radio.
Father, let's have a word of prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We thank you, O God, for this season of refreshing. We thank you, O God, for this season of rejoicing. We thank you, O God, for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for every blessing that we are experiencing right now, oh God. Lord, we're so grateful. We don't have time to complain. We don't have a mind to complain. We don't have a heart to complain. But what we have, oh God, is gratefulness. We're so grateful for you just coming into our lives and saving us and bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we thank you, oh God, for opening up your arms and your heart to us, oh God, and giving us a mind to embrace you and embrace your Son and embrace the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would have your way even on this conference line in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you would take control, oh God, of the hearts and minds of your people. Give us understanding. Give us clarity, oh God. In the word of God, give us understanding, give us instruction, give us direction. In the name of Jesus, Lord, do a new thing. Do what you're going to do, oh God. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your will be done in all the earth, oh God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. We also like to pray for Prophetess Teresa Phillips and Phillips Doc and her family in their hour of bereavement. Amen. We just pray for them that God would strengthen them and encourage them and just comfort them in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, O God, for your spirit. We thank you for the love, O God, that emanates from the throne of God. Lord, we ask that you would send that love, send that strength, send that comfort to that family, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, honor, and glory, and we just thank you, and we just praise you. God, we ask that you would look on everyone on this phone line that has a need, something that they have up before you, oh God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory, and we decree and declare that that thing, that unspoken request, that thing that they have been longing for and in need of, Lord, we thank you that it's already done in the name of Jesus. You have already made a way out of no way. We thank you, O God, for signs, wonders, miracles. We thank you, O God, you are marking miracles, O God, with your anointing. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. We're excited about what the Lord wants to say to the people of God on tonight. And we just want to make ready to get in the presence of God. And I'm going to ask everyone to go to the Word of God with me right now. We're going to go to Ezekiel. We'll be coming from the book of Ezekiel. And we'll also be coming from Leviticus. We're going to start off with Ezekiel 43:10. Praise God. This is an awesome scripture, people of God. Ezekiel 43:10, 11, and 12. Amen. And I'm going to read for your hearing. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they might be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Amen. And amen. And now go with me to Leviticus And we're going to the 26th chapter of Leviticus. And we're going to start at the 3rd through the 13th verse. Ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and ye shall eat old store, and bring forth old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And at this time, we're going to turn the broadcast over to Apostle Ron. Are you there, Apostle Ron?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you all. God bless you to the entire Blog Talk Radio listening group and to Prophetess Teresa Docks. The blessing of the Lord be upon her and her family. And we thank and praise God for every opportunity that has been shared with us and for Evangelist Hannah and all those that are working to make this possible. I'm just excited about what God is doing in our lives today and what God is doing in this season and what God is doing for each and every one of you all that are listening. There are some things that are just taking place right now in the earth and in glory that are now being manifested before us, some things that God had already set in motion, that God had already purposed and planned for us, that are now being made manifest, that are now coming to fruition. God is doing some awesome things, and these scriptures that we were reading, that Apostle Gwen read, are an indication or pointing toward what God is doing, what he has accomplished, and what we are walking into now. I'm excited about the unveiling of the kingdom of God, because this is something that is necessary now for people to understand what's happening in their lives, for the people of God, for the body of Christ to understand what's happening in their lives, what's happening around them, for the body of Christ to understand what's taking place in the spirit realm as well as in the natural realm. It is so necessary that we don't walk through life blindly, but we walk through life with our eyes wide open, and we can see what God is doing. We have an eye to see his truth, an ear to hear his truth, and a heart to receive his truth. It is so necessary for us to be in that place and position where we will hear from God and be able to function in his will. And this is why the Lord just inspired us and unctioned us to begin to declare the kingdom of God in a way that we had never done it, in a dynamic that we had never done it, on a level that we had never done it. And it's time for this explosion of kingdom relevance. It's time for an explosion of kingdom impact. It's time to press into the kingdom and declare the kingdom of God in the earth and deny the enemy from taking so much room in the world, for taking so much room in people's lives. It's time to disallow him. And how we do that is by functioning with kingdom authority and by functioning with kingdom relevance and kingdom power. We have to have a mindset, a kingdom mindset. People don't have, in this day and time, a kingdom mindset. They have a religious mindset, and they want to make sure that they are appropriate and that they conduct themselves properly in a religious format. But the kingdom of God is somewhat different from the format of religion. The kingdom of God is like a wind. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Nicodemus had questions about how is this possible? What are you talking about? And he revealed to him that this is a spiritual thing. You are born again into the Spirit, and you don't know exactly what the Spirit is going to do next. You simply have to be led by it. You can't lead the Spirit. Mistakenly, and I don't even think it's intentional in many cases, but you find people, they get their patterns set religiously, and they lead the Spirit. They'll tell the Spirit when to start, and they'll tell the Spirit when to stop. They'll tell the Spirit, okay, you can do this, and they'll tell the Spirit, you cannot do that. They'll tell the Spirit, it's not time for deliverance or healing. It's time for this, that, or the other. They'll tell the Spirit, I don't want you to speak now. This person has to speak. And they do this in the interest, they do this in the interest of keeping order. But there's one thing about the Holy Spirit that, and that is this, he sets the order and he sets the pattern. We don't set the order or the pattern. He does. We just follow his lead. We have to trust him, but you have to know him first. You have to know him and understand how he does things, why he does things, what format he uses, as opposed to the formats that we would choose. And this is so necessary for the people of God to understand this and to become more kingdom-minded. That's why the Lord is calling for us to go higher. He's calling for the body of Christ and for the people of God to come higher. When you begin to rise in the Spirit, you begin to see things that you had never seen before. The perspective of things change the higher you go. When you are right up on things, you only see what's directly in front of you. But when you begin to rise to a higher level, you can see an entire different perspective. You can see the whole land. You can see the whole land from a higher or elevated position, and you can see what God is doing and how this road leads here and that road leads there. When you're too close up on things or when you're too earthbound, you don't always know where your road is going. But when you get elevated in the Spirit, you can see where your road started, where your journey started, and where your journey will take you and the destination that the Lord is leading you to. You can actually see that from an elevated position, but you just can't see it from an earthbound position. You have to see it from a heavenbound position or a kingdombound position. That's why the Lord tells us to set our affections on things above, or to set them there, to direct them there, to position your affections and the appetites of your life on things that are kingdom, on things that are heavenly, on things that are not just earthly, but things that are spiritually relevant. And we apply those spiritually relevant things to our natural lives, and we bring about spiritual change everywhere we go. And this is what our intention is to bring people into the awareness of the kingdom of God. Jesus went into the synagogues in Luke 4. He went into the synagogues as he normally does, as his custom was. But then he picked up the book, where they gave him the book to read, the holy book to read, and he began to read from Isaiah saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to recovering of sight to the blind. He was speaking about the gospel of the kingdom of God, which he later began to demonstrate right after that. And this is something that it is time for the body of Christ everywhere to do, because the enemy that we're dealing with is proclaiming the kingdom of darkness everywhere with great intensity. The kingdom of darkness is being declared everywhere like it has never been declared before. And I know you can testify to this, that things around you are different. You don't see things in the way that they that you used to see them. Everything is being exposed now in a way that it has never been exposed. And people are just coming forth. I can say they're coming out of the closet now and declaring themselves to be this or declaring themselves to be that, which is clearly contrary to the word of God. They're saying, I'm homosexual, I'm this, or I am anti this or anti that. I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in that. I don't have any aspiration for this, that, or the other. I believe only that God is love, and his love is, I believe that God wants us to live in unconditional love, but they don't even understand what unconditional love is. But yet they will declare themselves to be walking in an unconditional love from God, declaring that God accepts everything that they do unconditionally. That is not unconditional love. They're saying that God accepts whatever we do is acceptable because God loves us and he doesn't mind what we do. And that is not love. And you know it as well as we know it, that if you, being a parent, would not allow your child to do whatever it is that they want to do simply because they want to do it and because it pleases them, if you know that the end of that thing that they choose to do will bring damage or harm them in any way, it is your responsibility as a good parent to protect them from their desires or from the things that they want to do that you know aren't good for them and will lead to something that is contrary to their productivity or to their life. So then God, being the Father of all, knows better than all of us what is acceptable, what is right, and what is necessary for our lives. And people have that all mixed up. Yes, God is love, and his love is unconditional. But his love is unconditional in that he is love, not unconditional in the fact that he doesn't care whatever it is that we do. He still loves us. Yes, he does still love us, but he does not love anything and everything that we do, and there must be a separation. When you love someone, when you love your child, you're chasing him to protect him. It's not just to control him. It's to protect him out of concern and love for his well-being because you love him. Stop loving him because of what he does. You correct him because of what he does, and that is true love, and that's the type of love that we have and we are to have and that God gave us, and we walk in that. And it's necessary for us to do that. But nowadays, there is a serious confusion and delusional state of mind that's taking place out here, and people don't really know who they are as it relates to their lives and as it relates to God. They don't know who they are. That's why it's so necessary to declare the kingdom of God and identify the people of God as being a part of that kingdom, as being kings of the kingdom, as being the chosen ones, as being the ones, those believers that know that they have been selected and chosen by God to be kings in this earth, kings representing the kingdom of God and the declaration of that kingdom. It is necessary. If we don't do something, the devil will feel like he can do anything. If we don't stand for what is righteous, then the enemy will continue to push unrighteousness up on our loved ones, upon our relatives, upon our family, and it will be a terrible thing. It's something, it doesn't matter who you're talking to, in so many different dynamics. you can have a conversation with a family member, or you can be having a conversation with a guy in a store. You can have a conversation sometimes with people even in the church house, and they have no clue as to who they are. They feel like they're just somebody that goes to church, or you're somebody that goes to church, and they don't realize that you are the living, walking anointing in the earth realm, responsible for declaring deliverance, salvation, freedom, and victory, declaring the kingdom of God everywhere you go. And this is why we have this unveiling of the kingdom, because we need people to begin to function in that kingdom dynamic. We need people to begin to think kingdom, begin to talk kingdom, begin to worship kingdom. They need to begin to worship kingdomly in a kingdom fashion, in a kingdom dynamic, and allow the Holy Spirit to direct them. Jesus said himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has directed me to do this, that, or the other for the sake of the gospel of the kingdom. And this is how we are to think. And I'm excited about this opportunity to share this, to encourage the body of Christ, to encourage every believer to be caught up, to be caught up and to be strengthened and to rise and to elevate to a place of higher dimension, to a place of kingdom dynamic. It's necessary, people of God. Even in this unusual season, maybe you may not be aware of it, but we're in an unusual season, a prophetic time. This is a prophetic time. There is no time for carnality or folly. This is a very prophetic time and a very prophetic season. And many of you may be aware that this is the Jewish holiday, the high Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, which represents a day of atonement for them, and which is a wonderful thing for them. But we know for sure, without a doubt, that our atonement has been made by Christ. And we're thankful and grateful that that has happened. But from a prophetic standpoint, everything is just kind of coming together, revealing itself. Because this is the 70th cycle of Jubilees. This is the 70th cycle of Jubilees. There have been 70 50-year periods of Jubilee, and it all culminates in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles. It all culminates here, identifying a return of Christ or a presence of the Lord revealing himself in a way that we've never seen before. And what's going to happen is that the people of God are now being caught up. And I'm not saying that Jesus is going to return tonight or tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying, because no man knows the day or the hour of his return. But we do know the times, and we have been made aware of that through Scripture, that the times would begin to show signs of certain things taking place in our earth. It will be like in the days of Noah, where people were doing whatever it is that they wanted to do. They had no conscience. They had no conscience of good or evil. They called good evil, and they called evil good. They hated the things that were good, and they loved the things that were not good. They loved the evil things, and they lived for it. And that was the way it was in the times of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage. Or in other words, everybody's marrying everybody. Everybody's marrying anybody, and they're giving and accepting this as being the normal thing. Now there's a law in this land that we live in this sacred law, a law founded upon the principles of God, a land founded upon the principles and laws of God, in this land where the Bible is not really considered a sacred book anymore. It's just a book that religious people read. It has nothing to do with how you live your life. It's only about how these religious people want to live their lives. That's why religion cannot be the statement of the day. It's got to be the kingdom, because God is not boxed into religion. He is the creator of all things. The very breath that we breathe is him and his presence inside of us. And people are unaware of that. So they have taken it upon themselves to separate God from our civil way of living, to separate God from the way we conduct ourselves in our schools, on our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. And our laws have been constructed to allow certain things that would never be allowed in the kingdom realm or in the kingdom thought or pattern of doing things. And they are now involving themselves in how the church conducts themselves. They want to control the way the church conducts themselves. And when I say church, I'm talking about the people of God, not the building. They want to control how the people of God now conduct themselves and what they do. If what you do is challenges what the law is saying, then you are in jeopardy. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So you can see now how there are rulers. There are rulers, how the scripture says in Ephesians, the rulers of darkness. There are rulers of the darkness of this world, people that are in high places, people that are seated in high places, and Daniel spoke of it, how they're going to be changing the laws and changing things to construct or to relate to ungodly things. You're going to be able to see it, and it's going to be interesting to note that it's happening just the way the Bible says it. And I'm sharing this with you because it's directing you to where we're coming from. I do know and I do clearly understand the format in which people usually do things. But when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you have to say what God is telling you to say, because we're not about our own business. We are about the business of the Holy Spirit and the business of the kingdom. And it's important that I set you up for where we're going with this, because you need to know you haven't been hearing from me on this radio station in a while. And this is where we are, and we're setting the precedent for it, because we're going to continue to deal in this dynamic so that people will understand what's going on around you. The Lord told me on a few weeks ago that they that rise will remain. They that rise will remain. And he was speaking to us about as we are elevated, as we are caught up in the Spirit, as we begin to rise in him, then we establish ourselves as the remnant, because as the remnant, because there's going to be a shaking, and there is a shaking right now. There's an earth-shaking thing that's going on. The heavens are going to be shaken. The earth is going to be shaken. There are going to be wonders and miraculous things taking place all around us that are unusual and that we have never seen before. And as the earth is shaken, the economy is being shaken. The earth itself is being shaken. The educational system is being shaken. The money is being shaken. Banks are being shaken. You'll be surprised how many people are telling me that they're going to work and they're not being paid because the government says we don't have any money to pay you. These are the type of things that are trying the minds of people everywhere. These are the things that are trying the minds of people everywhere, and the Lord is letting us know now that it is because a change has taken place. We have entered into another season that the Lord is coming to reveal himself more powerful than we've ever seen it before. And it is necessary because we that are born-again believers have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and that is going to be revealed in everything that takes place, in everything that takes place in our life, in everything that takes place in our world. He is revealing to us that he is now here. And there is necessary for us to set up a pattern that identifies we are in a different place, in a different dimension. Look, and that pattern is here in the passage that Apostle Gwen read in Ezekiel. And it's not so much as we're not speaking to people that are in the world. We're speaking to everyone. We're speaking to everyone, but mainly we want to speak something into the lives of the house, into the lives of the people of God. We want to direct something. We need to build up the leadership in the body of Christ so that these leaders will begin to establish leadership everywhere and begin to stand forefront, begin to stand in the front, forefront for the kingdom of God. In Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, I'm going to start reading here in Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 10th verse where Apostle Gwen read. And then after we read this, we're going to go over to the passage of Ezekiel because it's something very significant that I want to bring out through that passage of Scripture. In Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter and the 10th verse, it says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house. Show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern." God is revealing something to us in this passage, that the house of God or the people of God or the kingdom, those people representing the kingdom, it's time for them to change in their representation. And he's not talking about putting down holiness, but he's talking about lifting it up high. He's talking about establishing a whole new pattern and reverence of doing things, not in the way that we have seen it done, but God has taken us to a higher level to be able to begin to operate, as we stated earlier, on a spiritual plane and on a spiritual dynamic. He said, "And I want you to show this to my house, to my people, the house of Israel." He's talking about a whole people. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about the building that he has built. Not a building that's built by hands, but a building that is built by his hand and by his thought, by his word, by his intention. And that is us. We are that nation of Israel now. We are that nation of Israel linked to them through Christ. That's who we are. We represent the body of Christ. We represent that house that God has chosen to dwell in. He wants to live and dwell inside of his people in a way where he can be seen every single day. He does not want to be seen only on Sunday, because he is God on Monday, he is God on Tuesday, he is God on Wednesday, and every day therefore. He wants to be seen in our lives in a way where people will know this is God with you. And there are ways in which he chooses to make himself known. It says, "Show the house of Israel, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern." It says, "And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all of the forms thereof, and all of the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all of the ordinances thereof, and do them." That might sound like a whole lot of different things, but what he is speaking of is the image of Christ. What he is speaking of here is the image of Christ, the image of his kingdom, and his anointed ones. What he's speaking of here is that the forms that we have been walking in, the form that we have been functioning in, is not the form that he wants us to begin to function in. There was something necessary for us to get started, but now there's something more required of us to finish our journey. There's something more required of us for us to be able to be effective in this day and in this age. It's almost like the bottomless pit was opened and everything that was down there is shot out into our world. So then what do we do? Do we back up in the face of opposition? No, we move forward. We run to the battle. We move forward to represent that new form, that new identity, that identity that is the image of Christ. We move forward to represent that. And that those things change. That means we have to have a different, as I stated earlier, we have to have a different mind. That mindset is a kingdom mindset. That's a whole other form. The way we believe, our faith dynamic is a kingdom faith dynamic. That's a whole other form. The way that we talk, the way that we think, that's a whole other form. That's a kingdom dynamic. The way that we react to things, our perspective on things, that's a whole other kingdom dynamic. Maybe at one point in your life, you had the mind to say, you know what? I'm going to put down the Holy Ghost right over here, and I'm going to do what I need to do and take care of my business, and I pick him up when I get back. That was actually the way in which people live their lives. There are people that will tell you that there's nobody perfect but Jesus. So we can't live in a state of perfection. Even though Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father is perfect, even though he said that, they dismiss all that he said regarding that. And they say, ain't nobody perfect but Jesus. So then I don't have to be perfect, and there's no sense in me living or walking in that pursuit because that's not me. He's the only one that could do that. But what they forget is that he is now inside of you, and he is still perfect inside of you. So therefore, the scripture tells us he is the one that brings us to completion. He is the one that brings us to maturity because the word perfect means maturity. It means completion. It means development, complete development. He is the one that brings us to that state of maturity. He is the one that brings us to that fullness. He is inside of us doing that, building something inside of us, building a powerful kingdom inside of us that it would be shown on the outside of us. So the people used to live like that. They used to think like that. I've been in church for a very, very long time. 40 years or plus, there are people that actually lived that way, conducted themselves that way, and it has been that way. But now the Lord is calling for us to build another pattern. The Lord is calling for us to build and show a different form. When we begin to show a different form, a different dynamic, a different way of life, begin to reflect who he is, begin to reflect that he is inside of us and we now represent him, and as he is, so are we in this world. According to 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. But you can't tell a lot of people that. You can't tell a lot of people that as he is, so are we in this world, because I'm not going to be as he is. I'm going to be as I am. This is all I know. This is how I've been, and it's accepted, and I'm going to live this way. Well, God is calling for a whole nother form. He's calling for a whole nother shape. He's calling us to be conformed to his image because he created us in his image. Jesus reflected what that image was and what that likeness is. And he called us now to begin to build and shape ourselves into that form and into that image. And he says, this is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof, round about, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And we all understand that the mountain, that's that high place, that high place, that place that is up above everything else. He is calling us to go higher and to take ourselves to the mountaintop. He is calling us to take ourselves to the mountaintop. And when you are at that mountaintop, that is the place where you can get the greatest revelation of God. That is the place where God will reveal himself to you, at that mountaintop. Moses had to go to the mountaintop where God was, and God began to reveal himself to Moses in a way that he had not revealed himself to anyone else, even Abraham. He began to reveal himself to Moses, and in that passage of scripture, you'll see a beautiful relationship that Moses and God had and the conversation that they had. We're not going to go there now. But just the fact that there at that mountain, Moses went there to meet with God. And the children of Israel said, well, it looks kind of spooky up there, God. It's kind of spooky. Moses is kind of spooky up there. It's kind of scary. A lot of smoke and fire and stuff. You go on up there, and we're going to stand down here in this place where we are and see what happens to you. And, you know, you hear from God, and whatever God says, you come back and tell us. But we don't want to talk to him ourselves. We don't want to have that relationship with him ourselves. We don't want to have that encounter with him ourselves. Since you have been chosen to have that encounter, you going up there into that fire, into that smoke, into those thunderings and all that, you going up there, that's kind of spooky to us. This is the way that the body of Christ is thinking today in many cases. Not everyone, but this is the way the body of Christ is thinking. They're not trying to have a special personal dynamic relationship with God. They're not trying to have an encounter with God where he reveals his glory to them, and they begin to walk in that glory, and it changes them, and it also changes their image. In the natural, the things that took place there in the Old Testament were a natural thing that took place, but they represented something spiritual that will now be revealed in our life and in our time. The things that took place with Moses as he went there and begin to see those things that were taking place. They begin to see that then what took place there with him is now taking place in our time. God is opening up himself to us, and he is revealing to us his glory and bringing us into his presence in a way that we've never been before. And this is what time it is for us, people of God. This is what time it is for the kingdom of God to be aware of what God is doing, to be aware of where he's bringing us to. He wants us to go higher into a mountain-type relationship. He wants us to go higher where even the breath and the air that we breathe changes. We begin to breathe him in a different way, completely above everything that we've been involved in, and we'll have a whole other mindset about what God is doing. I'm going to stop right here for a moment, and we're going to, for those of you all that are listening that may not be in Christ, that may not be aware of what has happened for you through Christ, we're going to bring you into that awareness. And I want you to know now that the blood that Jesus shed, he shed that for everyone. I'm just changing right now in my dynamic to make this offer because we're approaching the end of the hour. And I want to make sure that I say this because the Lord is calling for all of us to come into that place of deliverance and wholeness with him. And it does not matter what you've done. It does not matter how you have lived your life previously to this point. You're talking about a God that loves you now unconditional. He's not comfortable with how you've been living your life, but he knows who you are because he created you. He created you and he designed your life for a specific purpose. And I was sharing this with someone else on Sunday that it is time for you to really begin to realize who you are. Who you are, what you were created for, why he created you, and what he wants to do through your life. His plan is what he wants to be manifested through your life. So I'm going to say this to all of you all that are listening. The blood that he shed for us is applicable to all those that are willing to accept it. You don't have to do anything but just believe. You don't have to do anything to be a sinner. All you have to do is be born, and you're born into sin and shaped in iniquity, and you begin to live out that sinful life. Well, the only thing you have to do now is accept what Christ has done because he fixed everything Adam broke. He was the solution. He is a solution to every problem that Adam caused. And now we have been made accessible to him. Through his blood, now we can have a taste of the tree of life through his blood. Now the tree of life is accessible to us and available to us. And if we accept that, then he will begin to work in our lives in a way where our problems will be diminished and we'll begin to see the power that he placed in us as being victorious over the problems that we may be encountering. He will deliver us from the slavery of sin into the freedom of salvation and the power and victory of salvation that comes through the gospel of his kingdom. So we're going to share this with you right now. We're going to pray, all of you all that are listening. We're going to pray right now for the salvation and deliverance of everyone that is listening, and then we're going to continue on to the jubilee effect of what God has done. Father God, we thank you for everyone that is listening today. We thank you, O God, for those that are hearing the word of God being proclaimed to them. We thank you, O God, that now you are presenting salvation to all those that will believe. All they have to do is accept what you have done, and their name will be written in the book of life. We thank you, O God. We thank you right now that you are forgiving sins as they accept you, O God. You are forgiving their sins as they bring their sins to you, O God, as they bring their troubles to you, as they bring their burdens to you. You told us, God, if we cast all of our cares, our problems upon you, that you care for us and you would take those problems from us and take them onto yourself, because your yoke is easy and your burdens are light. Father God, we pray right now that there will be deliverance and salvation for those that are hearing us, that they will begin to turn their hearts toward you, that they will begin to seek you, O God, that you will lead and guide them for your plan for their lives. Many people are out there and they don't know what your plan is. They don't know what your plan is for them. They don't know what their life is supposed to be doing or how their life is supposed to be transpiring, O God. But you are here now and you're speaking to them, that you're telling all of your people to come unto you. To come unto you now and cast themselves at your feet. To cast themselves at your feet, and you will lead and direct their lives. And you will bring deliverance to where they have been opposed with, oppressed with burdens. You will bring deliverance to them where they have been bound or where they have been placed in captivity by the enemy. You will bring healing to those people whose hearts have been broken, whose minds have been broken, whose bodies have been broken. You are the Lord, our deliverer. You are the Lord, our healer. You are the Lord, our salvation. You are the Lord, our peace. You are the Lord, our shepherd. And you will lead us to a place of restoration. You will lead us to a place of deliverance. You will lead us to a place of healing and wholeness. And we thank you right now, God, for those that are listening. And now we ask you that each and everyone that's listening today would just turn their lives over to you and trust you to lead them and trust you to take hold of them, to trust you to take their sins away, because you've already performed the work. You've already atoned for us. All we have to do now, Father God, is accept what you've done, and we will begin to walk in the newness of life. We thank you, O God, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for your salvation. That each and every one that's listening today, if you do not know him, just say this there out loud or in your heart. Say it with the confession of your mouth. Lord, I know that you have died for me. I know that you shed your blood for me. I know, God, that your blood is the atonement for my sins. And because of what you have done, my sins are now being washed away, and I accept you as my Savior. And my Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are coming into my life to give me a better life. You're coming into my life to place your image inside of me so that I will see you in me and begin to conform to that image. And I thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me and pulled me out of darkness and placed me into your marvelous, wonderful light. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise right now, Father God. And I thank you that this thing is being done in our lives, and even for those that may be burdened in any other way. We speak a lifting of their burdens, O God. We speak that the burdens will be removed as the yokes in their lives are now being destroyed, and they will be reconnected to you in a greater way, and they will begin to go higher. We all will begin to go higher in you, O God, and see you and have a greater experience of revelation and truth with you, God, that we might be able to reflect your image everywhere we go. And we thank you right now. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you are doing, what you have done, and that new life that we are now walking into We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father, and we thank you right now in Jesus' name. And that is for those that are needing salvation, that are needing strength, that are needing comfort, that are looking for hope, that are looking for something new and fresh. It is time for that new and fresh thing that God has prepared for us. We're in the right season. We're in the right time. Regardless of what's happening around you, you are in the right season for God to do things that you have never seen him do before, and he's about to do it now. Apostle Gwen, do you have something you want to share?
Praise the Lord. Yeah,
there you go.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was unmuting my phone. Amen. We're just so excited about the word of God that was taught on tonight. We are endeavoring to let the people of God see the true nature of God. And the world needs to see who Jesus really is. And the only way that they will see who Jesus really is if they see him through us. And we have to redefine the way the world sees the body of Christ.
That's right.
I'm so excited because this is the time and this is the season for that move of God, for that thrust in the Spirit. Amen. And we're thrusting forth into our destiny and thrusting forth into our purpose. And I'm just so excited about that. And the word that the Lord gave you a couple of months ago, I think it was about maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago, they that rise will remain. And that's letting your mindset rise. Letting the way that you think, your thought pattern has to come to another level. Your thought pattern needs to be kingdom-focused and mountain-focused. We can't think about ourselves while we're in the valley. We have to head to the mountain so that we will have a clear perspective of what the Lord is trying to convey to the people of God, and even not only the people of God, but to everyone on the face of the earth, because he called us to be his kings of the kingdom. And we're just so excited about that, and we just thank God for everyone that's on the line, even on tonight. And we're going to ask that our program director, she will unmute the lines in case someone has any questions or remarks. We'd like to take your questions or remarks in a couple of minutes, and she can unmute the lines now, but I'd like to just talk some more on heading to the mountain, going up to a higher level in God, where God is calling us. He's changing the pattern. He's changing the pattern. He said, I need the people of God to look at the pattern, look at the way that I design my church and follow that pattern. We are the Bible is not a book of judgment, but the Bible is a book of prophecy. It's a book of prophecy that man has turned into a book of judgment. And that is not the will of God. It's a prophetic book for a prophetic people, and we need to operate in the prophetic and begin to use our prophetic voice to change the earth.
Yeah.
Not just change the earth, but change everything around us, change our circumstances, change our situations. And that is what the prophetic voice is for, to bring alive and to activate the kings. And that is what I want to do tonight. Before we close out, I want to activate every king that is listening to this broadcast. If you are listening, God is calling you to a higher level. He's calling you to a higher dimension. He's calling you to a higher place in him. And it's time. It's time for you to tap into what God is saying. It's time for you to go and activate other kings and let them know that God appointed unto Jesus a kingdom. And when Jesus dies, that kingdom has been appointed unto us. And we are the kings of that kingdom. And we are to develop that kingdom. That is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to develop to develop that kingdom in the earth and to share and to build that kingdom. That
yes.
means bring in
yes,
more
God.
Souls. Let more and more people know about the power and the majesty that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you take on this name, it's just like in Mission Impossible, back in the seasons when they used to come on, and they, should you take this, they would say, if you decide to take this mission, if you decide to let Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior, you will not be a mortal man, but you will be a supernatural being, and you will have supernatural power and supernatural authority in the earth. And that is what time is, to let the people of God know that it's time to come to another level in God. It's time to walk in our kingdom authority, in our kingdom purpose. And I decree and declare that every person listening tonight will be activated. We activate you in your kingdom authority. We activate you in your power. And we decree and declare that you will dig and you will search in the word of God and into the will of God and get clarity and understanding of who you are and who the kingdom, who you are in the kingdom of God and the authority that God has released into your hands, and that you will use it wisely, and that you will cause men to come into the kingdom, and that you will cause men to see that there is more to this world than just utter darkness. You will cause men to see that there is a true and living God, and he is on the throne, and you are his chosen vessel, and you will be used for his kingdom. Those that will rise will remain. You will remain relevant. You will remain powerful. You will remain strengthened, and you will remain resourceful for the kingdom. God will use you in these last days. In the name of Jesus, we decree it and we declare it in Jesus' mighty name. And we just thank everyone so much for calling in. And I believe that your phones are unmuted, and if anyone would like to have any questions or remarks or anything before we close out. Amen. I think we're off the line, though, so we just thank God for you. Okay, so we just thank God for everyone that did call in, and we're just excited. We ask that you will meet us here next month on Tuesday, October 27th at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much. We were so happy to share this with you. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Good night.
To God be the glory to everyone. And we'll continue on from Leviticus 26. 3-13 the next time we talk. God bless you.
God bless you, woman. God, the middle of God.
God bless you. Thank you, Hannah. We love you.
Well, you too.
Good night.